Good morning. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for August the 11th, 2021 will come to order. There is only one item on our agenda today. It is advisory opinion request 2021-08 Fitzgerald, submitted by Congressman Scott Fitzgerald. This matter was held over from our July 29th, 2021 meeting. We're joined today by Jesse Augustin and Lane Rulin, counsel for the requester. They are available to respond to questions that commissioners may have. We do say welcome to both of them. I believe they are online. If they'd like to, they're welcome to turn their videos on. And we also have Kevin Paulson and Robert Knopf from OGC here to discuss the matter. So I will turn to counsel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, commissioners. Before you are agenda documents 21-33-A and 21-33-B, which respond to a request from Congressman Scott Fitzgerald. The request asks whether the Congressman's State Campaign Committee and Federal Leadership PAC are affiliated under the Act and Commission regulations, and if so, whether the Leadership PAC may receive unlimited transfers of funds from the State Committee. If the proposed transfers are permissible, the request further asks whether the State Committee must notify its contributors that their contributions are subject to the Act's source prohibitions and contribution limitations. Draft A concludes that the requester can engage in the activities as proposed and that the State Committee must notify its contributors that their contributions are subject to the Act's source prohibitions and contribution limitations. Draft B reaches the opposite conclusion, finding that the requester cannot make the proposed transfers. We did not receive any comments on the request. We received one comment on Draft A from Campaign Legal Center. I'd be happy to address any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I ask my colleagues, are there any questions? Commissioner Hooksey?
Thank you very much. Thanks to Mr. Paulson. Since we have counsel for the requesters here, I would be interested if Ms. Augustine or Ms. Rulin have any comments on either of the two drafts or any other information they want to present today.
This is Jesse Augustine. Yes, I'd like to thank commissioners for your time today and for considering this AO. And I'd also like to thank staff for their kindness and diligence in setting up this meeting. We are here to advocate for draft A. We think that makes sense. And the commission has previously recognized similar relationships between a state committee and an unaffiliated PAC that have become affiliated and have been able to make unlimited transfers between themselves previously. Kind of just to keep it short, what we would say the fatal flaw with draft B is it seems to think that or posit that BCRA has superseded these regulations that have allowed these committees to be affiliated. And that's just not the case. The federal regulations that are cited in draft B talk about a candidate's authorized committee, and an authorized committee isn't the question here today. That would be, you know, Scott Fitzgerald for Congress, and that's not involved at all in the AO. We're talking about the PAC and the state committee, and like I said previously, the commission has allowed those committees to be affiliated, make unlimited transfers between themselves, of course, subject to all federal regulations like source restrictions and reporting requirements. So, I think that's the really short answer. If that helps, if you have any specific questions, happy to delve further in.
Madam Chair.
I understand. Thank you. I was looking at the big print that goes across telling me. So thank you, Ms. Augustine. I appreciate colleagues letting me know. Let me turn to my colleagues. Are there any further questions? Commissioner Trainer, please.
So, Mr. Augustine, thank you for that answer. Approximately how many donors are there to the state entity that we're talking about?
I don't have an exact number in front of me, but typically the commission would look at the dollars that are in the current state account as the last dollars in. What would be transferred over to the federal PAC. would be considered those dollars. So off the top of my head, I would probably say hundreds. It would really depend on how much the state committee would wind up transferring to the PAC. So we wouldn't have a number right now. The other thing that we would say is, you know, if the committees are deemed affiliated, we would have to go through and make sure that none of those donations, for example, would be beyond what the federal limitations would be, or would have any source restrictions like coming from a federal contractor or something like that. Given that he was previously a state candidate, we think it's highly unlikely, for example, that there are federal contractor dollars in that account, but we'd have to be sure. So I wouldn't have an exact number.
But you feel confident that your client can go through and efficiently engage in that process?
Yes. Wisconsin's campaign finance restrictions are very similar to the federal restrictions in terms of what money you can take. The contribution limits are actually lower. So it would just be a matter of due diligence to make sure that there's nothing sort of outlying that got missed or that, you know, came in. Since the congressman has become the congressman and not a state candidate anymore, he hasn't been accepting donations into the state account that would not be compliant with any sort of federal restrictions. So, yes, I think with a little due diligence, it would not be problematic for those funds to be transferred over. Obviously, everything would be reported first to the state committee, would confer to the federal committee, and then comply with all reporting regulations like any other federal committee. So it would take a little bit of time and diligence, but not problematic.
So we shouldn't have any concerns whatsoever with regard to the transparency of the donations that we're talking about here?
I don't believe so. Wisconsin has a lower threshold for reporting requirements than the federal government does. All of our donors have to include their addresses. So we would obviously be able to contact all the donors and let them know that their money was now subject to federal restrictions. So all of that is transparent on the front end. And then again, after the committee would get converted, any source money would be reported at the federal level. So there shouldn't be any sort of transparency issue.
Okay, and then I want to talk a little bit about the passage of BCRA and then the regulations associated with it. So it's my understanding that in previous opinions prior to BCRA, we had allowed these type of transfers and that we only superseded those advisory opinions to the extent that an authorized committee can be affiliated now with an unauthorized committee. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's all the questions I have.
Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Augustine, I admire your confidence. when you said the commission has previously allowed this, can you provide more detail on that? When exactly did the commission previously allow such an arrangement?
Oh, specifically, I was referring to the Thompson opinion, where a state committee was allowed to be affiliated with a federal PAC.
But the state committee, well, A, it was pre-BCRA, and so the law has changed fairly substantially since then. And B, Thompson Committee was not controlled by a federal candidate.
Yes, that is
that's
both
a
correct.
Fairly substantial distinction.
Well, it would seem to be at first, but as for the federal regulations regarding the leadership pact, as the previous commissioner was commenting, it didn't actually supersede the Thompson decision. So they talk about the authorized committee, and the authorized committee isn't in question here at all. So we don't see how that would be on point in terms of superseding the Thompson decision. So that would be one thing with BCRA. And then the other question is, you know, yes, so obviously the congressman is required to comply with all federal regulations. And as Draft B points out, the concern is the reporting requirement. The committee, the state committee, when it would be converted into a federal committee, all of those source funds would need to be reported and would then have to comply with all federal restrictions, all reporting requirements. You know, so there would be no question on transparency. If anything were to seem that it wasn't complying with federal law, it would be the same as for any other federal committee that, you know, the commission staff could follow up and say, you know, with an audit or a request for additional information, you know, why is this money in here? You know, and any mistakes would have to be rectified by the congressman.
You assert that this wouldn't be an authorized committee, so we don't need to worry about that. But would it not be authorized by the congressman? How is it not an authorized committee?
Excuse me, Madam Secretary, I don't think that Commissioner Traynor is any longer with us.
I know we had yes, Madam Chair, I was about to try to find a place to mention that. Yes, he appears to have had technical issues and has dropped off.
We're going to probably end up taking a little recess to see if we can resolve that. But in the meantime, I'd ask his office to reach out and to let us know if they're also. So what I'm going to do is I apologize for cutting you off, Commissioner Weintraub, in the middle of the discussion. But
my apologies, Madam Chair. I didn't notice that Commissioner Traynor's picture had disappeared.
It's a multiple, you know, we've always said it's a moving squares and the square moved. And so I noticed that square. So I'm going to just ask for about a 5-minute recess. So we've had some technical difficulties today so that we can make sure that the commissioner is available to participate in this. So Council, Ms. Augustin and Ms. Rulin, if you could just please continue to hold on and we will try to resolve this as soon as possible so we can get back to your questions. Thank you.
And the recordings have resumed.
Thank you. We are resuming the open meeting for the Federal Election Commission. Ms. Augustin, I believe you were in the midst of answering a question from Commissioner Weintraub, or it might be Ms. Commissioner Weintraub was in the midst of asking one, but either way, whomever it is, please feel free to jump back in so we can continue the discussion. Thank you.
Why don't I repeat the question in case anybody missed it? And my apologies, Commissioner Traynor. I didn't realize you had disappeared. Ms. Augustin, you assert that this new committee would not be an authorized committee, but how would it not be authorized? In what sense would it not be authorized by the congressman?
My understanding of an authorized committee is that the congressman has one authorized committee, which in this case is Scott Fitzgerald for Congress. And then there are potentially committees that he controls, but that are not authorized committee, for example, like what we have here, the leadership pack, which is Scani pack. And then he's got his state committee, which he is looking to have affiliated. So my reading of it is that he has the affiliated committees of Scani pack and Scott Fitzgerald for state Senate. And then he separately has the authorized committee of Scott Fitzgerald for Congress, which is not involved in and wouldn't be taking transfers from either of these.
Well, but it sounds like what you're saying is, well, it wouldn't be authorized because we're not calling it an authorized committee, although in fact, he is establishing, financing, maintaining, controlling, and authorizing the establishment of this new federal committee. I am not aware of the commission ever having allowed post BICRA. That wasn't me. such a committee. I'd also like to ask you if you had the opportunity to read the comment that was submitted by Mr. Noddy and Ms. Klopak of the Campaign Legal Center. And I'll just mention that both of them are former FEC attorneys, each of whom served as head of our policy division when they were at the FEC. So they're fairly knowledgeable about our regulations. And they seem to think the draft day is just legally impossible. So I invite you to comment on their comment if you've had a chance to read it and tell me why they're wrong, because I kind of think they're right.
I don't have really anything to add compared to what I had said about the draft B on their comments. I don't doubt their expertise in this area. I just feel like this is a pretty straightforward issue, whereas maybe some of the more detailed responses don't necessarily need to be delved into. It is up to the commission's discretion, of course.
Well, I agree. It's a pretty straightforward issue. That's why I support draft B. Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Cooksey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Larson, a couple questions about the discussion we were just having about the role of control being a sufficient, condition to make a committee an authorized committee. That's not right, because if that were true, then leadership PACs couldn't exist. Is that right? I mean, leadership PACs are controlled by a candidate. They are established by a candidate, but we don't consider leadership PACs to be authorized committees. Is that fair to say?
That's my understanding, yes. And that is what my previous comment was resting on.
And as I understand the statutory definition for an authorized committee, it's not sufficient that it be controlled, but that it receive contributions and make expenditures on behalf of the candidate, as to be supporting the candidacy. Is the state committee going to be supporting Congressman Fitzgerald's campaign?
No.
So is it, I mean, functionally, it sounds like the state committee is just going to be a second leadership pack, and you're just going to combine the funds into a single leadership pack.
Yes,
is that right?
That is exactly right, yes.
Oh, and so is it fair to say then that it's not the problem with the CLC comment, of course, is it says it's impossible for a controlled federal committee or a federal committee controlled by a candidate to be unauthorized. But of course, that's the definition of a leadership PAC. So we've sort of proved the possibility of it right there, it seems to me.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, of course, leadership PACs exist because there's a special regulation that authorizes them, not to overuse the word authorize. But the draft A doesn't say this would be a leadership PAC. It says it would be, the way to do this is to make it a non-connected federal committee. Is draft A wrong about that? Are you now saying that it's going to be a second leadership PAC? It's not going to be a non-connected committee? Because that's what draft A says.
No, we can leave it as a non-connected federal committee, and then the leadership PAC would continue to be SCANI PAC, and then those two things would be affiliated, which would allow the unlimited transfers, subject to federal regulation, of course, and then they would share a contribution limit. The same analysis applies, basically.
The same analysis applies, except there's a specific regulation about leadership PACs, and there is not a regulation that similarly allows a candidate, a federal candidate, to have a non-connected committee that he controls. And presumably has, in any common sense notion of what the word means, authorized that committee's existence. He is creating it. I don't know in what sense it would not be authorized, as I understand the word authorized, by the candidate. I don't know if that's a question for you or for my colleagues who are planning on supporting draft A, but I'm just not following this.
Well, I guess I don't want to belabor a point. I would just say that the Thompson decision had laid it out nicely as to what the distinctions were, and that that was my point earlier, is that the commission has recognized this kind of relationship before. It's not prohibited by federal law, and there's no transparency concerns as far as we can see. So if there's anything else that the congressman could be doing to alleviate anything that isn't in draft A that would alleviate any concerns commissioners might have, we're certainly open to that.
Madam Chair.
Vice Chair.
I think this is a question for OGC following up on this discussion. So looking at draft B on page 9, first full paragraph, there's a statement that the commission notes that the exercise of its discretion, and the exercise of our discretion has come up a few times and not been squarely addressed, to conclude that Scani PAC and the State Committee are not affiliated is consistent, and there's some analysis. My question is, do you agree with the statement from Council and the statement in draft B that result here is a matter of our discretion and not a question of the road application of statute or regulation?
Madam Chair, I believe that was directed to OGC. Thanks. So the discussion in draft B of the commission's discretion, I believe, refers to the commission's discretion to not find affiliation, even when two entities, maybe EFMC'd by the same candidate, for the reason that in a case like this, you could have an entity that's clearly EFMC'd by the same candidate, but could not be deemed affiliated because such affiliation would allow circumvention of BCRA soft money restrictions. So the commission seems to be noting its authority to not find affiliation in cases where, you know, the control might be there. And that's how it seems to have exercised them in previous MERS and some older advisory opinions that it was referring to in that quote from the 2003 Leadership Pact rulemaking.
Well, I agree with you. I think we do have such discretion, and I know that because, and this point's been made, that maybe it's useful to actually quote the regulation. 100.5E as an echo, sub 6, which sort of explains what the Leadership Pack is. A political committee that is directly or indirectly established, financed, maintained, or controlled by a candidate for federal office or an individual holding federal office, but which is not an authorized committee and which is not affiliated with an authorized committee. So obviously we have the discretion because we've invoked it in the context of Leadership Packs. So am I right so far that there is not a regulation or other statute that bars us from adopting draft A?
I would say that draft B lays out our view that you have discretion within the affiliation context, but that we continue to view draft B's legal analysis as correct with respect to the contention that BCRA soft money prohibition serves as an impediment to the requester's proposed activities.
Well, let me ask this question then. I mean, the nature of discretion is, well, one, to cut both ways, and I understand their arguments on which direction to invoke our discretion. My question is this, you know, reading draft B, which makes a lot of policy arguments about the purposes of BCRA and the soft money ban, maybe this is a question for counsel from both sides. It seems to me like the interests of the act are better supported by having all of the congressman's various committees brought under the hard money umbrella, as draft A suggests. Ensuring that they are subject to the source and amount limitations passed by Congress, and otherwise terminating this state committee that exists on the sidelines. What's the counter argument? It seems like this actually is converting. This is bringing more activity within the hard money restrictions of the act, and that is something that generally the commission would be expected to approve.
Sorry, is that a question, Madam Chair? Is that a question directed to OGC or to counsel for the requester?
the policy question, I'd love the views of both sides.
This is Jesse Augustine again. I'm happy to jump in. That is completely up to the commission. If you think that's a good use of your resources, I would say if the concern is transparency, I would have a tendency to agree that the commission would have a better idea of how money was flowing, where it was coming from, if we got rid of the state committee and turned it into a federal committee, because then the reporting requirements would be at the federal level and not the state level. So it seems like a valid point to me.
I would add from our perspective, there are arguments to be made both ways. I think you can make the argument that counsel for the requester has made. I think that there is also probably a counter argument to be made in the interest of disclosure, that because these funds were not subject to reporting, federal reporting requirements when they were contributed, a federal political committee would be subject to quarterly, annual reporting requirements that would disclose these contributions, you know, within the timeframes that they were made. They weren't federally reported within the statute and within the requirements of regulations. So from that perspective, it's almost like you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube as far as whether these funds were federally permissible with respect to the reporting requirements. I think that would be the counter argument.
But under draft B, they'll never be subject to the federal reporting requirement, correct?
That's correct. That's how I read draft B.
Any further questions for council or OGC? Are there any motions?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Trainer.
I would move the adoption of draft A.
Thank you, Commissioner Trainer. Any discussion on this motion? None, I'll call the question. All those in favor of approving draft A, please say aye.
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 Opposed? No. No.
Sorry, I was on mute. No.
Mr. Walter, you're muted. I'm not sure if you're voting.
I'm sorry about that. No.
No. Thank you. The motion fails with 3 voting in favor, Commissioner Traynor, the Vice Chair, and Commissioner Cooksey, and 3 voting against, Commissioner Walter, Weintraub, and myself. Any further motions? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of Agenda Document 21-33-B, otherwise known as Draft B.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. Any discussion on this motion? None. I'll call the question. All those in favor of Draft B, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, please say no.
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 No. Motion fails with 3 voting in favor, Commissioner Walter, Weintraub, and myself, and 3 voting against, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Cooksey, and Commissioner Traynor. Thank you. Anything further? No? So we're going to move on. We have the question. I see Madam Deputy Secretary. Are there any management or administrative matters the commission needs to discuss today?
There are no such matters.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.